Welcome to the Small Batch edition of Pop Culture Happy Hour. I'm Linda Holmes. I'm the editor of NPR's pop culture and entertainment blog, Monkey See. And I'm here in the studio with Stephen Thompson, who's a writer and editor with NPR Music. Hey, buddy.
Hello, Linda.
So here's what brings Stephen and me into the studio today.
It's breaking.
You know, ever since we began Pop Culture Happy Hour, from time to time, people have said, you know what drives me crazy is when you guys talk about stuff like The Bachelor.
Yeah.
So what we are doing in this small batch edition is we are taking our need to occasionally talk about The Bachelor, and we are encapsulating it in a sealed container.
Mm-hmm.
So that
Lead-lined.
So that those of you who hear us say Bachelor and say, when you say that, I almost can't believe I listened to your show.
Right.
You just turn this off.
Yeah, just skip to the next one. There'll be a next one really quickly, I'm sure.
It never happened. We were never here. This never happened. Meanwhile, for the rest of you. So Monday night was the premiere of the Farmer Chris.
Chris. he's differentiated from the other bachelors because he has like a big waxy chest and like short cropped hair.
Right, exactly.
Like a full head of short cropped hair.
Right. And who would know that they would pick a guy like that? Yeah, so
this is basically The Bachelor : Farmer Wants a Wife.
Yes, it absolutely is. Farmer Wants a Wife. And so Chris was one of the candidates during the previous season. He lost, but according to the people who make the show, he was the one that everyone thought was, oh my gosh, that farmer guy. I love that farmer guy. Well, I personally got to the end of the season. I was like, a farmer? I don't remember him. Anyway.
No, well, he definitely was. They usually will pick the next selection from the previous pool.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He was, I think it was fair to say, he was probably the least objectionable remaining dude.
Oh, yeah. They picked this guy, the strapping farmer from Iowa.
Right.
Iowa?
Iowa, which they depict as if it is an absolute utter hellhole.
Yeah.
There's this whole...
He's like, there's no women in Iowa. Okay, so Monday night's episode, speaking of hellholes, started off rather than just the old style 2-hour premiere that they used to have with the 25 women arriving in limos, and then there's a cocktail party, and then at the end he picks some and sends some home. They started off with this hour-long preview special. It was kind of like one of those E! Red Carpet specials with Juliana Rancic. If instead of talking about fashion, Juliana Rancic had asked boring people about their lives.
Which, I mean, Juliana Rancic, I was going to say, she kind of does do that,
She does that a little bit anyway. But without the part where she says, what are you wearing? And just with the part where she says, what was it like driving here?
It was pretty excruciating. And I had just thought, oh, this episode is 3 hours long.
Yeah.
You know, it's the nice break from those.
And that seemed okay to you.
Right. I was like, that's a nice break from those lean 2-hour episodes of the show. No fat in those 2-hour episodes.
And of course, it's hard to remember that back in the day, when you and I were young, The Bachelor was 1 hour, like a regular television show.
we were so innocent then.
It wasn't eventy. It was 1 hour, just like a TV show. Anyway, normally there's 25 women.
Right.
Last night, big twist.
My mind, there's like a mushroom cloud over my head.
Unbelievable. 30 women.
I know.
And what I loved about it was there was this attitude of everyone involved that like, well, 25 women, that's perfectly normal. 30 women, can you handle it? At some point, his mama had told him, like, more than 27 women at once is very dangerous. So he was like, whoa, I was ready for 25.
I'm just telling you, 30, that's not how they do things in Iowa.
30, that's Hollywood, baby.
Yeah.
25, in Iowa, no more than 25 women at a time.
This particular episode was even more so than usual, really mastered the art of being very grave about very minor things. And that show always does this thing. And it, to the point where they were openly mocking themselves with the most dramatic rose ceremony ever, the most romantic season ever, the blah, blah, blah. Where he's like saying this in this live special, and people in the audience are openly laughing at him.
Right.
But in this episode, I'm not surprised. I don't mean to say, like, this is unusual for this show. It was like, coming up, the all hell breaks loose at the rose ceremony. And what happens? Spoiler. I don't want, if you're DVRing this, I don't want you to miss the big dramatic rose ceremony twist, which is that one of the women, or a couple of the women, but one in particular, was a little overserved.
Yeah.
And she,
a little overserved and dangerously less than vertical.
She was teetering, and I was like, okay, they've been promising that this is like bat poop crazy. Yeah. This rose ceremony is just going to go completely off the chain.
Yeah.
So I'm like, vomit on them. Because she's in the back row.
I totally thought she was going to throw up on the girl in front of her. Didn't you?
I totally thought she was going to throw up on somebody. I'm like, oh, please, if you're going to destroy a few of these dresses, destroy that sequin thing with the red thing at the bottom.
Steven's picking the dresses most deserving of being thrown up on.
Exactly. Not the wearers I would feel bad for. The dresses,
would
not
you?
So much.
Would no, I? I'm just kidding. No, I know you would. So, yeah. So the big shock was the appearance of the temperance movement when several of the other women were like, well, look, if he's going to pick a girl who's been drinking too much, I don't know what kind of guy he is. And that was my favorite part, because that woman is coming on The Bachelor.
Right.
It's okay that he's a guy who wants to go on The Bachelor.
Right.
It's okay that he's a guy who's going to date 10 women at the same time as you and make out with them and potentially sleep with a few of them before he proposes to you. But if he will tolerate the fact that she had too much to drink and she's like, woo-hoo-hoo, and he's like, and these women were acting like, if you can't recognize a drunk as a menace to goodness, then I don't know if I want to have anything to do with you. I don't know if you're the pure-hearted, simple, all-American boy that I thought you were when you came on The Bachelor.
This show, man. To
find a wife. Farmer.
The way, like, the twin towers of trashiness and moralism.
Oh, it's so true.
It's unbelievable. And the offshoots of The Bachelor that they've done, Bachelor Pad and Bachelor in Paradise, are just the grodiest.
Yeah.
They're so gross. They bring in, like, most of the grossest people and just have them, like, do gross things.
You should see the hand gestures that Steven's using for people doing gross things on The Bachelor Pad. It's very evocative.
My hands are, like, apart, and then I'm, like, smushing them together. Like, I'm taking, like, I'm holding, a rotted vegetable in one hand and a rotted vegetable in the other hand, and then I'm just mashing them together as if they're kissing.
Yeah. No,
that's the gesture that I'm making. Yeah. Like, those shows are so trashy and so gross, and yet they're of the same root.
They're on brand.
They're of the same root as this show that is so incredibly moralistic and persnickety and judgy about sex and about any kind of behavior. And part of it is you've just got all these people. They are virtually all drinking. And so there is just kind of, there's going to be a natural mentality where the most objectionable people are going to kind of get picked at and complained about.
Right, exactly. And it always happens that on the first night, the women are trying to figure out, like, anything to say about each other because they don't know each other. So they're trying to figure out, what can I say about her that's, like, kind of cutting and makes me seem above it all. And so when you really don't have anything else to criticize, why not be like, well, she had too much to drink. Look, I've been known to say of other people, that one's had a little too much.
I think you could just say, I've been known to say of people, just leave it at that.
Just had a little too much. But the way that some of these women were acting, like, this was the most offensive thing they've ever seen. The other joy, of course, of the first night is that that's when you get 30 women deciding how to get out of the limo.
Oh my God.
And greet the farmer bachelor.
The bachelor.
The bachelor. One of whom had a little karaoke machine.
Oh my God.
And she walked up to him like, my name is Carly and I want to be your wife. I love you, bachelor. Or something like that, whatever it was she was doing.
Uh-oh.
Oh my God. She's going to sing.
My name is Carly. It's nice to meet you. And in a few weeks, I hope to teach you. You learn a little about me, I learn a little about you. Then maybe one day, one and one can make two. Until then, let's enjoy the ride. And I'll see you inside.
And she was walking with a karaoke machine.
Yeah, she was like cradling a karaoke
machine.
Like
a pink karaoke machine. Yeah. She's a cruise ship singer.
Well, but so I like the fact that it was pink because otherwise it wouldn't have been twee enough.
But yeah, they all have their different way. They come up, they say some ridiculous thing, they sing. One came up on a motorcycle.
Right.
Nobody brought their mom this year.
Or their child.
Yeah, one person.
Still kind of want to punch that guy.
Yeah, that was a dude on a season of The Bachelorette. Nobody brought anybody else, I don't think. No pets.
It was a petless Bachelor premiere. It's interesting. I watched this with my 13-year-old son. And he sat there like playing video games and occasionally looking up and saying things like, wow, is this whole season going to be about how horrible Iowa is? His other stock thing that I heard him say several times was,
he's very advanced for his years. I mean, I think that what we can say about this season going forward is that you and I are going to watch it.
I'm afraid so.
And feel bad about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And if you want to watch it and feel bad about yourselves, then you know that Stephen and I are with you in spirit.
Are doing the same thing. And I will say, in terms of how this season looks to be shaping up, The Bachelor Chris is less objectionable than Juan Pablo. But more objectionable than probably most people in your lives.
Yeah, it's true. If you're grading on a curve, I don't really have any problem with him. He seems like one of those people who could potentially meet a nice woman who also is the kind of person who would want to meet someone on The Bachelor, and they could get together and have that kind of marriage. And they do appear to be in the process of marrying off a couple of their recent couples.
Well, and I think he's very similar in a lot of ways to Sean Lowe, who was a very like simple kind of amiable dude.
Met a simple, amiable woman, and now they're going to have they had a simple, amiable wedding. And
we'll probably eventually have a simple, amiable brood.
Yeah, it's absolutely fine. If that's your thing, then that's your thing. And as you can tell, it's our thing. Well, full episodes of Pop Culture Happy Hour are available every Friday at npr.org/PCHH or on iTunes or your favorite podcast provider. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, Linda.